You can ask if they want to rest. You can choose what they want. I'm making 90 minutes together. 90 minutes, so it's 15 before 12.
Okay, hello everybody. Here is Vicente, and he will continue and introduce himself.
Okay, thank you. I'm Vicente Cerverón from the University of Valencia. Nice to meet you. I don't speak Finnish. English is not my native language too, but I guess we can talk in English because my English and your English. I think your English is better than mine, but we will try.
Okay.
As you might see for this course, is about the NoSQL databases. I was asking Bessa about your background. He told me it's a diverse background. So I will ask you some things. In the homepage, you have a broad guideline of these four lectures we will have. Today we will have an introduction about the databases and about NoSQL databases and what are the characteristics and the things about NoSQL databases. I will propose at the end an exercise that we will develop in the last lecture on Friday. Tomorrow on Thursday, we will work with real databases, with Cassandra and with MongoDB, with exercises and so. At the last, we will end on Friday, and you are watching by Zoom of our recording. You have a final assignment to work on this thing we have worked these days, okay? And as it was here, it was right in here. You have a week. It's not too long exercises, but you have 7 days after Friday to complete the final assignments about the databases, about NoSQL databases. Sorry? Okay. Okay. Sorry. You have to develop this and to send the final assignment by the team platform. So if you need anything, you have my email there, so you can write as some of you have wrote before. I think we will start. And of course, we will start by the basic concepts. If some of you, or if you have some of you here in the class who want to ask something, please raise your hand. And if some of you that are following the lecture by Zoom, you can write in the chat. in the chat, not in the Zoom chat, in the chat of the team platform. Okay, and as I told you, you have diverse background, and we want to start with the basic concepts. I want you your own answers for some questions. So the first is a. Quite broad question that you can answer right now, that in what ways and formats can we store data? And try to develop your own answer. It's not an exam, it's not a test. You can write different things. I am sure you will write different things. But don't think only in databases. There are more things or ways to store data. So I will see what have you said. This is good on paper, okay? It's real. It's a way to store data. It's a bit old, but it's okay. Some of you put JSON, XML, SQL, files, binary, ASCII, human memory, digital written files, databases, memory. Integer, writing it down, text files in formats like CSV, TSV, JSON, relational databases, files, paper, writing down structured and unstructured, text, image, relative databases, CSV again, in books, in oral tradition. Well, okay, this is really good. So, this is what I want to say. Sorry. Too many things. No. Yeah. I want to. In a new tab. And effectively, taking apart paper and human memory, oral tradition.
You stop. Continue.
I stop what?
I don't know. You dropped the screen sharing.
Sorry, I couldn't see the where the question.
Sorry,
right. I couldn't see where the question was supposed to be.
Sorry. And this is
to see the questions. You must go. No. Where is your mind? Yeah. Mind.
Yes. Here or here.
You must go to home page. Where it is?
Is the home page? No, it's the first page. Sorry.
Yeah,
in material, the first one.
Yeah, but they don't see the question if they don't go to.
Okay, sorry.
It opened to the right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The home page.
No, this is a.
Sorry. It's still to the right a couple. Avautuu uuteen välilehteen.
Sorry, I am not used to the team platform and I can't change, so.
You must go to this page.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, try it.
Okay. Well, I was trying to explain, and I don't want to break this. From digital, from computer system, we have three ways. We can talk about three ways. The first way you put there is in with files. We program with the programming language, you know, and you can store the data by writing in file in the format you decide is your own format. The own format you decide in your program, and this is your full responsibility. You decide the format, you decide the file, you decide everything. This means you should know about everything at this under your own responsibility. The other way is to use an established format, like to write in CSV or JSON or whatever, your programming language, can write and read in one of the format, or you can use data sheets with Excel or Write or Calc or whatever. And the third way that we are talking here and that you know is by using databases. By using databases. And now I will ask you, what does it mean to you to use a database? So the second question is, what is for you a database? Well, your answer, predefined way to store data, more efficiently, a structural method to store data, place to store data, organizing collection of data, corpus of knowledge related to the subject of the database, a structure that stores data and is queryable, collection of data, or some of collection of data, location for a collection, way to store and find information, a structured collection of data, physical place, system for storing information, collection of rules and tables, a place to store data, place to store data, on this data, way to store data, a program which store data, data stored in a structure, external storage service, structure to store data, well-formatted /data, a program for storing data. Okay, this is what I want to go. Some of these answers don't serve only for databases. some of the assets serve for data sets and for Word files and for, you have to identify what is really a database. So a database, you say, some of you say, a collection of data. A collection of data, you have hundred of Word files, is a collection of data. So database, you have to think, and there are different, this page I will show you after this lecture. And database, of course, there are many definitions of data. For instance, Wikipedia said that it's an organizing collection of data, stored and accessed electronically. It's, of course, a collection of data organized. So we are talking about an organization of data, and to can be easily located as changed. But one of the things as the database means an organization, and sometimes means that also the definition of this organization is also stored with the database. The definition, the how this is organized, is not only on your head, as if you write the definition with the tables, domains, or whatever they are using in the database, is also stored with the data. So it's a collection of data, and also about the structure of this data, and this is the database. The data and the information about how the data is organized. Some of you talk about tables. Tables are not the only way to store data in databases. This course talks about different databases, about this is called not sequential databases. And database is not a software. The software is another thing. Database is the set of data. We have a software to manage this data, but this is not the database. The database is the collection of organized, structured or not. We will talk about structured or not, because most of you know about relational databases. That is the most used databases, but not the only databases. Okay? And if we have another question about the main reasons to use databases, you go to a company or you will develop an application, when or why will you use a database or not? You go to a company, you say, we should use a database. Why?
Press
on. Oh, sorry. And when I ask the main rules to use the database, you think the other ways to store data that are not with databases. Why do you use, will you use databases or other ways to store data? Okay, some of you say to lessen the computational requirement requiring from a large mass of data. This is one of the reasons the computational regression, and when you brought with a large match with databases, they are prepared to work with large mass of data. Other software or your program might not be prepared for that. For querying, packaging up, using I expect this correlation to pack important facts from load of data process. Okay. To manage that in an inefficient manner is to manage large amount of data. To store and collect data, again, I said you some of the answers serve for databases or for other things. You should think, well, what's the difference between using databases or other systems? To have consistent and reliable data, easy of retrieval of data when needed, and easy of storing the data when it has been generated, okay? This is really important. Concurrent use of data. When you develop your own software, the concurrent use of data is not so easy. You should program, you should code how concurrent use databases are prepared for concurrent use of data. This is a really important aspect about using databases. To define rules, scalability, many users and roles. Okay, this is also a thing important by using databases, that they are defining users and roles that if you program by yourself, you should program all things about users and roles and these things. More dynamic content to store large amount of data. To store is easy. To retrieve data quickly from large amount of data is the point of databases. Not to store. To store is easy. That wasn't so easy, is to retrieve fast. Okay? Fast when needed. Okay? Flexible. The information shareable and editable between multiple people in multiple locations. Okay, this is perfect. The application is by many people. Correct. To keep data organized and accessible. Okay, the same. To store efficiency, safety, and performance. Really good. To easily find data and relations, to be quickly accessible, extensible, and easily queryable, okay? Efficient storage of large amount of data, through centralization. Centralization or not? With NoSQL databases, we will talk about distribution more than centralization, okay? To store, modify, that's okay. So, I have resumed it in your answer in four aspects. To organize the data and that data are related one with other, that is not separate. You have customer, sales, and salesperson, they are a relation with data, and you want to organize data and keep track of the relation with data. One thing. When you want concurrent access is also concurrent access, and what that you say that users, roles, security, and so. Large volume of data, you want to quick access. And the final one that is assumed in your answers, and this is amazing, that you want to focus on data, not in data management. There are a lot of things of data management that is performed by the database management system. So you don't want to code in your program how to deal with users or with password or with whatever. You want the database system and this software that we talk manage the details of things, and you don't want to know if the data are in this file, in this folder, whatever. You want to know the organization of data, the concepts of your data, and you want most of these things is already written in a software. That this is the next question that is really easy. That is, what is a database management system? Okay. It's a program. It's a software. It's a software package. It's a different. The database is the collection of data, also of metadata. That is the definition of the data, and the software package. It's a package of software. You are using Oracle or something like that. It's not a program. It's a set of programs, a software package that manage the database. And that manage the users, the passwords, the roles, the security, and so on. So this a tool, a system, a software, of all your questions, system, program, is a database management system, is a software package. It's a software package. I wrote that database system is the term you use to cope with the database and the database management system. You are using a database system if you are using the software to manage a collection of data, and this is the pack. The software and the database. The software is the DBMS and so. And as I told you, what benefits do we get with when you are using this package, this database management system, the software, and you store the data? This is a bit redundant about all the things we can say, but just to have a full envelope of this information. Yeah.
Could you call the database itself as the dumb part of the program? or would you consider
all the logic in
logic, like all the tables and everything, like how to query data, like the database itself, it doesn't know anything about itself, but DBMS knows things about it. And through that,
no, the all the information you need, the information is not in the DBMS. The information is, that we will talk later, is in the database or is in our mind, in the programmer mind. The DBMS is the software to manage with the information they find in the database or that you provide from the application. The DBMS by itself have no information about the database. Okay? So, you say the easy of use. The easy of use, what is the, sorry, I will read, the unifier logic to use database companies. We don't have to create our own logic in every company. That's okay. Getting the relevant information, make it use database easier data management, security, reliability, predictability. It makes life a lot easier.
Okay.
We can focus on developing the application and the search of data itself. Okay. Easy and fast, gain the access to data. Effective querying of data, don't need to plan and manage the story by myself, possibility. User-friendly by manage, easier access and management, helps to improve the sharing of data, don't need to worry about counting files, indexing. Okay. Efficiency, control, usability, accessibility, use, searchability, concurrent uses, improved performance, faster management of data. All data only needs to be stored once. Data is up to date, fast queries, user roles, relational data, security. Data is being managed, compressed or not, easy to balance data, increases productivity. Okay, perfect. How I will put some of this that mainly define what you say about data independence, uniform data administration, efficient access. One of the things that you put is that if you are used to SQL or relational database, you know, you have a language to interact, and you are prepared, if you are talking about relational databases, you are prepared to use MySQL, SQLite, Oracle, some of them, if you know SQL. You have a language. You don't know. Of course, each database management systems have different details, but you know that if you will work with relational databases, you have a overall knowledge of that. Also, the reduced application development time, data integrity, security, and for sure, recovery from crashes is one of the, you don't write in the answer, but recovery is one crucial things about databases. If you are the responsible, you are the database administrator, you are the responsible of recovery data and copy and so all things. So the last question I will ask you is, and what software for databases do you know? Do you know, do you use, or you have some knowledge about that? Okay, and you stole Oracle and SQLite. The next one should be here talking the lecture because he or she knows everything. Postgres, SQLite, Oracle, MySQL, MariaDB, DuckDB, Cassandra, Mongo, four dimension. This is perfect, sorry. Postgres, MySQL, Postgres, SQLite, MongoDB, MySQL. Okay. Object-oriented database system. Postgres, InnoDB, MySQL, MongoDB. Okay. Oracle, SQL, Access, MySQL. Okay. Perfect. Of course, as I expected, most of this system, that is the real world of computer databases, are relational databases. But relational databases are not the only well to store it. They are the over 95% of databases are relational databases. Difference like Oracle, SQLite, Postgres, MySQL, there are a lot of them. By the way, there is one of these. The second proprietary database is DB2 by IBM. Is in large companies, they use a database that is DB2 from IBM. Is from proprietary after Oracle, DB2. That you don't fight it is the second user databases in world of the proprietary databases management system. So we will continue. So after your answer, you should be sure that in some situation, you need database system. You will use database system instead of data sheets or your own files. So you won't write the details of database. Sorry, the details of data management. You will rely on database management system to manage the data. And you will focus on the logic of your application. You will define the model of your data, how they are organized, how your data are organized, and you will store this in the database. So the way you are mostly used to do that is the relational model. This is not the only model. By fact, before that, there were another data models. There was a model that was the hierarchical model, that is a tree structure of the data. And in the beginning, in the 1960 or so, the first databases were not relational. What different databases? And so, in the 1970, Coles defined, wrote a paper that established that a good way to organize the data was the relational model. The relational model, you know, that you have tables. You organize the data in tables. But I repeat you, this is not the only way. This is a way, a successful way. So from the 1916 to now, it's 52 years of success of the relational model. And of course, we will continue using relational databases, I think, all of our lives. Our lives, you have more years than me, but we will, but not only. And for the relational model, the main aspect of the relational model is that you define tables. Each tables have different attributes, the columns, and we have domains, and we have constraints. We have constraints, and we define a table. You define the primary key, and then when you define the primary key, you define the organization of the data. Then the software controls that the data meets your definition. And when you try to put a new row, a new file, if the primary key is repeated, they fails, and they told you that this is not correct because the primary key is violated when you are repeated. So, and you have also the relationship between tables. With the foreign key, with the integrity constraints, you told, and you store in the databases the information about the foreign key and the integrity constraints, and the software controls that and communicate you if they are some violation or not. This means that you define the structure. All these definition of the structure of the constraints are stored in the database, and the software will take a time always controlling this. Each time you insert a row, there are some integrity check about primary key, foreign key, and so on. The other successful aspect of a relational database is SQL. Relational database started at the 17th of the past century, and in the 80s, they created a language that is the SQL language, and this is a kind of standard language. It's really good. You know, all of you know SQL, okay? And SQL is a very, very good language, a very good tool to interact with each and every relational database system, with some minor difference, but it's a really good. So this is the model, the relational model is really good, it's really strong, it's really safe. And SQL is a powerful tool to work with this. So this is the reason for the success of the relational databases. So, different things. Object-oriented databases. Now, many relational databases accept object-oriented part of databases, or XML, the language XML, you know. XML is a way to structure the data, and relational databases also can manage XML. XML, they integrate in relational databases. So relational databases are good and incorporate the new things and perfect. It seems you can do everything you need with relational databases until you have different problems. And we started, we computer scientists are people working with computers and so, we started to have different problems. We started to have different problems in the early 2000 when the social network started, the social application and so on. And why we have new problems and new requirements and new things? Because we call it the three B's of big data. When we started to have large volumes of data in the past century, we haven't large volume of data. The companies or the providers put the data and we read the data. But there was a point that the users started to produce and to provide information, a lot of information to the social network, to Facebook, to Twitter, to YouTube, to everything. There are a lot of producers and large amount of data each day, each minute. We have large volume of data. Large volume of data. This is one of the B's. The other B is the velocity, the speed. We need really fast time to answer. If I develop an application, for instance, the Google search and the Google robot engine and the Google search engine. If you go to an application, you put something and you take, and it takes seconds to answer, you left this application and you will find, and we look for another application. So if you are responsible of a killer application, you should be worried about velocity because users want velocity. Users don't want to expect seconds. User want the answer in milliseconds. So if something about the database and so on and the constraints and whatever take some seconds is too much time. You need really, really velocity. And the other things, the other difference with big data is the variety. Now, in the past century, we have structured data, the tables of data, rows, columns, and so on. Now we have free text. When you write in Facebook, Twitter, whatever, Instagram, you put text, you put pictures, you put videos, you put different structures that are not so fixed a structure. You have variety of structures. So you have and you need velocity, volume, and variety. Relational database might not be the best answer for these requirements. So what did Google Google need to store and retrieve a really large amount of data about your search. So they decide to write its own database management system. They will use a database. She want to store a collection of data with some extractor, with some information, with a software package that manages the data, but not with Oracle or MySQL or SQLite or whatever. They decide, we will write our own software for manage our database, and our database will have the organization we think is better for the application, for the search engine application. So this is big data, and this is for applications. So when Google won his famous application, or with Amazon. Amazon needs a database, of course. What are the requirements of Amazon database? They know. So they write her its own software to manage its database. Or Facebook. Facebook is an application. They need a database? Yes. What are the requirements of the Facebook database? Velocity, variety, large volume. Relational database are the best for that? No. So they decided to write its own database management system, his own software package, and they also decide its own data model. The data model for Google or for the Amazon application data are not relational database, are not tables, columns, primary keys, foreign keys, are what they decide is the best for its application. So, some companies develop new software package to manage collection of data, databases, organize it, and with some definition, with some structure, with some data model. And they were thinking about, as I told you, about high speed, large volume of data. If you have large volume of data, what is the best way to store and to manage large volume of data? A centralized system? No, a distributed system. By far, a highly distributed system. Google, for instance, the Google search engine, how many servers they have? 100,000. So this is not a centralized. A centralized is not good for when you expect millions of users. You want a highly distributed system. So you have to use a software package prepared for highly distributed system. Relational databases are not prepared for highly distributed system. They are relational databases that are distributed, but distributed in a small amount of servers. Mainly until 16, might be 32 Oracle, but not 400 or 1,000 of servers, relational databases and not prepared, absolutely no good for that. And you want that. You want large amount and distribution. Another way, you want more flexible data schemes. If you have text, video, pictures, whatever, you will have this in rows and columns. Not always. Not always. You need different data models, different schemes, variable schemes. So, as I told you, the companies, Google, Amazon, Facebook, develop his own software. And the good point is that they put this, the software, not the business, the software, as open source. They release an open source version of this software. So you can use this software to manage your database systems. If you have, of course, if you have similar requirements than they have. Then, this is what this is called in general, NoSQL. NoSQL databases is not a single term. It's a term to define all these kind of databases that in different ways diverge from the relational databases. The point is not that the SQL are not good. SQL is a powerful tool. These NoSQL databases are databases that doesn't meet exactly the relational database model. So they diverge in different ways. But they are different kinds of NoSQL databases. They are not only a kind of NoSQL. NoSQL is a large term to define a set of database models that we will talk now. So with NoSQL databases, if you say, what are the characteristics of NoSQL databases? What is the data model for the NoSQL databases? There is not a data model. They are different data models. When you are talking about NoSQL databases, some people named it non-relational databases. But to define that, the difference is that not exactly the relational database. But what is the model? There is no model. They are different models. They are different data models. They allow different and more flexible data schemes. NoSQL databases, as I told you, are created for applications. So they are prepared for application. And when you write an application, what do you use? You use a library, an API, application programming interface with function and methods. Sometimes you don't use, even with relational databases, sometimes you don't use the SQL language. You use the API. So in this case, NoSQL databases software provides the APIs. Sometimes they doesn't provide a language like SQL. Sometimes they provide a language similar or not. Main point of NoSQL database is for distributed system. It's a software that is about distributed system, but as we talk about, the database management system is that they will be in charge of this distribution. You, as the programmer, you should think on your data model, and the distribution was the software that was in charge of this distribution. They are generally open source. And the last point is that if we need a velocity, sometimes we will relax some of the checks. For instance, primary key, if you have a primary key constraints, and if we have million of rows in a table, this has a computational cost to check that there is not repetition of the primary key. So sometimes you decide, I won't check that. Or more usual even, foreign keys. Foreign keys, the integrity constraints, is really time consuming. So you decide not to check about integrity constraints. You sometimes relax this one. Okay, we will see then in the different data models later, because this is different. In some NoSQL databases, they use a data model and they have some checks. In other kind of NoSQL databases, he has a different constraints, different relax. As I told you, NoSQL is a set of things. Well, so this set of things, can we talk about some kinds of NoSQL databases? Yes. We can group the different NoSQL databases mainly in four families, four kinds of NoSQL databases, depending on the semantic expressiveness on different things. For instance, at the left side, we have the key value databases. The key value databases are the simplest databases, NoSQL databases. But simplest also means that the database has really few information about the organization of the data. So in this case, most of the information about the organization of the data is on the programmer heads. Not is stored in the databases. Is the application that manage about the organization of the data. Key value, there are many different kind of database management system of that, like Berkeley DB or Redis. Okay. There's a second kind of NoSQL databases that are named column-oriented databases. Column-oriented databases, where Cassandra is a kind of this, when we see tomorrow, by fact, they look really similar to relational databases. But of course, they have many differences. But column-oriented databases is that information is organized in rows and columns, similar than relational databases. And we have Cassandra, HBase, and they are another model that is column-oriented databases. Document-oriented databases, like Mongo, but in fact, MongoDB nowadays is the most used NoSQL database system. we will talk what does it, what it means, document-oriented databases. In document-oriented databases, we have more a flexible schema. We are not restricted to tables and columns and so. We have the flexibility to change, to store with different data models. And apart, we have graph databases. Graph databases is really different from all the other models. When you, I thought that you in computer system science, we have learned something about graphs and so, and connections, arcs, vertex. And if your information, if the best way to deal with your data is a graph, then you need a different model that is a graph database model. So they are graph databases that has a different model. Then flexible data schemes. One of the things that we talk about NoSQL does that we sometimes, not for everything, sometimes need flexibility of the structure, flexibility of the scheme. So they are some, not all, some databases like Mongo that provide flexibility. Okay. The other I put is that the interaction models, you sometimes have a language or sometimes not. You always have an API. You are thinking on your application. Your application need an API to communicate, to work with the database management system that work with the database. Okay? So we, for each of these, we have an API. An API for Java, for C#, for whatever language, programming language you use, you have a API. A language like SQL, you might have or you might have not. The point about distribution and scalability is that when you start to develop your killing application, you don't know if you will have great success or not. You expect to have millions of users, maybe in the future, but you start with less users. So you will start with one server, two server, three server. If you are successful, you will need really more servers or larger servers. This is the difference between vertical scalability and horizontal scalability. Vertical scalability, as you have more requirements, you need a larger server. But a larger server is really costly and has limitations. So you can, if you need a server that is twice power that one, the price is not twice. Is four times. If you need a server that is four times powerful, the price is not four times, it might be 16. In the other model, in the other way, horizontal scalability, you buy a server. You have double requirements, you buy a second server. You have four, you buy four servers, or six, but you can grow. You can grow, and you can grow adding service as you need. And service that are of the cell servers, not a special, really expensive service, but usual, normal service, not too expensive, and you grow by adding service. This is horizontal scalability. This is why we go to distributed system instead of centralized system. You grow, and you grow in a way that is not too much expensive, and that you can grow by adding service. Of course, you don't want to worry about that. You want the software, the database software, worry about when you put a data where they go in the distributed system. But the point is that distributed systems have some problems. Apart from efficiency, communication, and so, distributed system, when you distribute the data, and when you distribute, if you've had hundreds of servers, where do you store a data? You usually store a data in more than one place. You want to have the data replicated by the event you have some fail in a server, you have the data replicated. Replicated twice or three times. So if you have distribution, you also have replication to have the security to not lose data or so. Then, if you have data distributed and replicated, you have three characteristics, three things you want. You want consistency. And what consistency, what want to means here? Consistency here means that each user that asks for a data for the system gets the same answer. This is consistency. Availability is that even something fails, you have an answer. Why? Because you have the data replicated in other servers, so if you cannot access one server, you access the other. And the other thing you have to worry in a distributed system is partition tolerance. Partition tolerance is that you have several hundred of distributed of servers. In some moment, there might be a fail and you cannot access all the servers. You can access only a part of the servers. Someone fails or a network problem or whatever. And the point is that these three desired things, you cannot ensure that these three things at the same time. It's impossible to ensure at the same time consistency, availability, and partition tolerance. So the different models have to focus on two of these three things. For instance, Cassandra, the Cassandra database management system, ensures availability and partition tolerance, but no consistency. And you say, you can deal with an application that does not provide consistent answers? Yes. For instance, the Google search engine is not consistent. If I look for something, and I put some keywords, and you put the same keywords, might be, especially if we are not in the same place. If we are here, and I was in Spain next week, maybe I get an answer, and you get a different answer. But you and me get an answer. So consistency for some application is not really so important. The important is availability. The important is that you get a relevant answer. Might not be exactly the same, but you, me, get an answer. But if consistency is a must, for instance, if we are developing an application from the flight company, the number of seats available, you and me have to get the same answer. No, it's not possible. We have different, inconsistent, not consistent answer. So sometimes we have to focus on consistency. And what happens if I focus in consistency? What happens if someone fails in the network? So that for some time we have no availability. So you have to think your application, what your application needs. Needs consistency, needs availability, needs partition tolerance. For instance, relational databases are not prepared for distribution. Relational databases are focused on availability and consistency. And if the network fails, the system doesn't answer. That's the problem. Okay? This is why if you have learned about a database and relational database, and they talk about the ACID properties, NoSQL databases doesn't ensure the ACID properties because they don't ensure consistency. They not ensure ability always. They are different models. Okay? So, to end and to go to the sample of the data model I want to tell you before the end of the lecture. NoSQL databases, when relational databases are not the good solution, we might consider to use another type, NoSQL database. But NoSQL databases have some drawbacks. What are the drawbacks of NoSQL databases? That there are no standards. They are really useful systems that are using, but are no standards in the sense of SQL. For instance, SQL is a kind of standard language that all the companies running databases, relational databases, might use SQL. So we learn SQL and we can mainly work with every relational database, not in this case. There are large complexity of the management administration, some lack of maturity. They are not as relational databases that are solid with 50 years of experience. They are new systems that sometimes are not so mature like relational database. A drawback that might not be a drawback, that might be an advantage for you. There is a lack of specialists on NoSQL database. So if you learn about NoSQL database, you will be one of these new specialists might be needed. But the fact is that the companies have some fear about these databases because it's not so easy to find a specialist to maintain this system. And the other that I will tell you later is that I will develop an application. What I will do? I will use a relational databases, a database, or a NoSQL databases. If I will use a SQL database, NoSQL databases, which of them? One Graph, one Cassandra, one Mongo, and why? Sometimes, and this is an exercise we will do, sometimes it's not so easy to decide what is the better solution for you. Yes.
Do you know if people have written any papers or opinion papers about that typical with in determining the most appropriate system? Because I'm thinking that would it be something to want to look into?
Papers exactly no, because we will discuss now and in the last lecture. Is not an established. There are some hints to decide what is, but sometimes it's not so easy. And there are not a special paper about that. Okay? So, the thing we will do now is about data modeling. About data modeling and non-relational databases. Data modeling, when you learn databases, you learn relational databases. And the model you use was the relational model. So you learn how to design relational database. How do you design? First, you did an analysis of the requirements, and you maybe do the entity relation diagram. You did the entity relation diagram?
Yeah, SQL course.
In SQL course, you did the entity relation diagram. And if you have the entity relation diagram, you automatically, you know which tables have to define, which are the primary keys, and which are the foreign keys. So, in the relational model, from the entity relation diagram, this determines the data model. The data model, the tables, the primary keys, the foreign keys, and so on. In NoSQL databases, there is a difference from that. In NoSQL databases, after the entity relational diagram, we think about the required queries. Your application, because we are talking to an application to develop your application needs all the infinite possible queries. No, your application need specific queries, not all the possible queries, need special queries. So you should focus on these queries, and your system should be perfect for these queries. Fast, quick, perfect for these queries. And you do your model for these queries. What does it mean? We have an example. We have an example that is the example that we have here in the in the query-driven data modeling case study. Query-driven data modeling case study. The query-driven data modeling case study is that you I don't know if you are a user of Twitter. You use Twitter? Some of you use Twitter. But if Twitter doesn't exist, maybe you have now the idea to develop some application like that. So imagine that you want to develop an application like Twitter, expecting that sometimes Elon Musk will pay you some large amount of dollars for that. Okay? So you want to develop an application that might be you expect to have millions of users and billions of tweets and incredible success. So what do you want? What do you want in this reduced sample of Twitter-like application? Well, you will have users, you will have tweets, and you will have users following another users. Okay? For this reduced example, I won't talk about retweets or likes or whatever. Only users, tweets, and following relationship. So, when you think about the application and about the database, the first point, the first was to describe, to put down the entity relationship diagram. And you see, what entity I have? I have users and I have tweets. Okay? And there is a relationship between user and tweets, because a Twitter has, each tweet has an author. So there is a relation of publishing that user publish a number of tweets. And you have also the information to store in the database that a user follows another user. This is a relationship between users. Okay? So, apart from retweets and likes and so on, and pictures and a lot of more things that have tweet, this will be our entity relation diagram. Okay? You agree with that? Okay. So, if we have this, and if you work with relational database, you think, so this is easy. For this in a relational database, you need one table for the users, one table for the tweets, and one table for the followings. Because as you remember, for the diagram, for each entity, you have a table. And for the many-to-many relationship, you have a table too. Okay? In our relational database, we will have these three tables. The user table with a primary key that will be the identifier of the user. The tweet table, each tweet has an identifier of the and we also have a in the tweet table, we also have the propagation of the key of the user that published the tweet, and of course with a foreign key relation. And for the many-to-many relation of follows, we have another table that has the user that is following and the user that is followed. This is the primary key, and of course with relational, with foreign key relation, okay, with integrity construction. So this is good. This works in a relational database, yes. This is the best solution if I have millions of users and billions of tweets? No. Because in that case, we will have a distributed system. We don't have all the tweet of the all the Twitter in a centralized system. We have in a distributed system. If you have data and the database in a distributed system, that means that all the users are in the same server? No. The user are, some data of the users are in one server, some in other, some in other, some in other. And what depends of that? That depends of the primary key. In distributed system, the distribution is determined by the primary key. So, to determine if this model is good or what is our best, the best model for this application, we should focus on my Twitter application, which queries will perform. So the application flow is when you identify what are the specific queries that will be faster in your system. And what are the queries for your system? The queries for your application are, for instance, when you have to register a user, when you have to publish a tweet, when we want to store that you are following another, when you look for a user, when you look for a tweet, or what happens when you open the Twitter application? What happens when you open the Twitter application? That you get a line of the tweets published for you but all of your followers. So these queries that you need, that is all these seven, well, no, the first three are the writing queries, the updating queries, and the others what the select queries. They are all efficient in a relational database. In a distributed system, no. Why? Because if you look for a user by the user ID, you are searching for the primary key of this table. So for the primary key, there is a hash function usually that defines data for user 328 is in server 32, for instance. So it's easy. But if you look for a user by his or her name, you know in which server is this data? No. You can find in all the hundreds of servers. You can, but it will take a long time. So the point is that in a distributed system, the efficient queries are the queries that are by the primary key, not by other fields. So if the efficient queries is the queries that are by the primary key, what should you do? You should create tables where the primary key is the field where you are doing the look. So, to look for user by ID is perfect. To look for user by name is not perfect unless you create a table, another table, a duplicated table by fact, where the primary key is the username. With the information about the following and the followers is the same. You can look for who is following who. But who is following who, you can think in two ways. Giving the ID of the following user or giving the ID of the followed user. Is the same? Not the same. That depends if it's the primary key or the first part of the primary key or the second part of the primary key. You'll later read that. And tomorrow in the Cassandra, that Cassandra follows this model, we will discuss most about this, about the fact that looking for the primary key is efficient and looking for a field different from the primary key is not so efficient. So we might define our data model for these queries. What does it mean? This means that you have the users table, we have the tweet table, but if you want to find, to look by username, you create a table where the username is the primary key or the first part of the primary key. Or, for instance, what is the main thing of Twitter? The main thing of Twitter is the timeline. The timeline, you search what? You search for your user ID. But your user ID should be the primary key. But the primary key of the tweets is not your user ID. The primary key of the tweets is the ID of the tweet, not of you. So, what's the time? What's the thing? That you might define a table with the tweets that are interesting for you. So this will be really fast. This is to define the data model, to define the table according to the queries we want. Not according to the entity relation data diagram. According to the queries we need that go really fast. So, yeah, as the time is quite consumed. So, this is the denormalized model. The denormalized model said that in a normalized model, in relational database normalization, try to not duplicate data. So, but in a distributed system where we have lot of servers, hundreds of servers, sometimes duplicate data is not the problem. The problem is velocity. The problem is time. So sometimes I have the data duplicated in several tables in order to have the table, the best table for each query. And for instance, at the end, you might read that if you register a new user in a relational database, a new user is insert a new user in the user table. But here, as we want to search a user by ID, and also we want to search a user by name, we have two tables, a table to search for ID and a table to search by name. So when you register a table user, you insert a row in the user and another row in the username table. You denormalize the data. You replicate the data for your queries. So this model that you, of course, you can read with more detail at your own. This is the thing we will do, and you can already do it in the last, we will do again in the last lecture. That is, sorry. Wait. I forgot something.
Follow. There is the menu.
Where is the menu? Ah, okay, here.
Little bit downward.
Oh?
Little bit downward. Go downward.
Ah, here. Yeah. Sorry. In the query-driven data model exercise. I think this is for discussion on Friday, on the last lecture. But you have an exercise that we'll be discussing in Friday lecture that we want to manage an information. And we have some specific queries that you want to be the fastest. So you should define your model, your data model, for that queries. Not for each possible query. With a SQL language, you can do infinite queries. But for these queries, what are the best data model for these queries? So, and also, in this lecture, after tomorrow and after Thursday, we will discuss for this problem what is better. Is better a model like Cassandra? Is better a system like Mongo? What is better for that? We will discuss in the last lecture. But as I said, database, NoSQL databases are different kinds, are different possibilities, and so on. So I think you might be exhausted with also information. I ask you to read this last about the Twitter-like application to discuss. Anyway, tomorrow with the Cassandra system, we will discuss about these tables created for a specific queries. Okay? Well, you have any question right now? No? You have, of course, if you have something, you can write me by email. And tomorrow be prepared to work with some exercise with Cassandra, and we will write more than me. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. We will stop recording.